Morning, guys. How are you all doing? Loving life? Yeah? Brilliant. Okay. We're having having a little talk now. It's going to be the Good Shepherd. If the kids want to go out at any point, they're welcome to go out. We got some stuff out in the foyer for them, so they're welcome to do that. If they don't, that's fine. I'm really impressed with Ellen and Sarah and Aidan committed to the preaching of the word on Sunday mornings. That's fantastic. Well done, guys. Brilliant. Look at that commitment. I did have a glass of... There it is. Glass of water. Okay, I'm just going to crack on with this this morning. Guys, it's the second part of the three-part series called the Sheep Trilogy. Probably the most random preaching series taking place in Wales right now. But I'm just trying to keep it Welsh, keep it real. And so we're talking to you about the Lord from the perspective of sheep in the Bible. And I just love sheep. I think sheep are great. This morning we're looking at the Good Shepherd. And I found this photograph on Google, and I just thought it was hilarious. Like, what the dickens sort of shepherd is that? I don't know if that's in America or something, but I reckon he's a little bit lost. He's stopping the traffic with a bunch of sheep, and the sheep look really bothered, as you can tell. So that's just an amazing picture. There we go. I'm going to read you a passage from the Bible, guys, but before I do, I just want to tell you that this is a really important message that I'm bringing this morning. I believe it's a message which, if we apply it to our lives, will make a massive difference in the age that we live in. A lot's going to come out as I'm talking, which will make sense of that. But, you know, the whole concept of Jesus being the Good Shepherd is a really profound message for today. Because what we see around us today is a lot of people who need a shepherd. And that'll come out as I'm reading. So I'm going to talk to you mainly from like one passage in the Bible. It's in John chapter 10. Which, if you've got the same Bible as me, which is probably unlikely, I think James is the only person who's got exactly the same one as me, but if you have got the same Bible as me, John chapter 10 is on page... I'm not sure if this is the same as the other Bibles we got, but John chapter 10 in my Bible is on page 1080. And it's quite a long bit of text. I'm going to read the whole thing through, and then just going to talk to you a bit about it, just bring a few points out of it, and hopefully stuff which is going to really help us to understand exactly what Jesus is getting at. Here we go. It's in John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. We know what they look like up here. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to him. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf come in and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. It's a long passage, guys, and just to kind of sort of just give you a real, there's a couple of themes that come through this passage, but the big picture is this. In this world, there is the shepherd, and there are those who are imposters, those who are thieves. And all the way through this passage, Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd. There's people, there's things at work in this world that aren't the good shepherd, that are in this world to destroy you, that are in this world to sort of like to just wreck stuff. And the first bit that we read, the first few verses, which is kind of set in the scene, Jesus sort of explains it like that. The thieves and the robbers come in and they just come in to sort of scatter and to damage and to destroy. But those who are of God's fold, those who are Christians, those who know Jesus, those who can say Jesus is my shepherd, they know his voice. They hear him call them by name and they follow him. Now I want to sort of just share this with you. Like I'll probably get a little bit emotional at different points in this sermon because I'll tell you a bit about myself, because some of you don't know me very well, right? I grew up in Pontypool, and I grew up quite an aggressive young man. Most boys in Pontypool grow quite aggressive. I don't know what it is about the valley, but like you grow up in a rugby town, and you know, if you don't grow up being able to sort of like, you know, to shout at people and if people have a go at you, to have a go back at them, then you sort of grow up. And so I just grew up like that. I just grew up with a lot of anger inside me. I did a lot of things I felt a lot of guilt about, and the way that I handled that guilt was I just sort of like got angry and got aggressive. I punched a lot of walls in my time. And a lot worse. And along with that, I didn't really care about people as much as I cared about myself. I was by nature a really selfish person. And then at the age of 15, I became a Christian. Jesus tracked me down, changed my life. And bit by bit, he's been changing me ever since. And like when you become a Christian, it's not like, you know, overnight you become perfect. That's not what happens. But what happens is you get plugged into God, who's committed for the rest of your life to make you more and more like Jesus day by day. About a year and a half ago, God asked me to leave St. Mellon's estate, where I was living with my wife and my and Ellen and my dog. We didn't have Josiah at the time. And I was doing youth work. So I was like, you know, youth work was my thing. But he asked me, God told me to come to Trevethin and start a church, which I did. Here you are. Great. I'm loving it that you're here. And almost straight away, as we started getting people to come into the church, and I was like the guy in charge of the church, God started changing my heart. And I started actually caring about people. And I thought I cared about people before. If you'd asked me, do you care about people, I would have said yes. But I care about people in such a different way now. Like, and it's not because I made myself like that. It's just that that's what God has done in my life. Because in the Bible, a pastor, which is what I am, this is what I do, the actual Greek word for pastor literally means shepherd. So when you hear me speak about Jesus as the good shepherd, he wants me to be a shepherd to you guys as well. And the heart that he's given me is one that my heart breaks now when I hear about things that are going on in people's lives. Whereas before, you know, if I heard about somebody that had been hurt by someone, my response would have been anger and I'll go and sort them out for you. God's changed that. And now if someone's crying, I just want to cry with them. And now if someone's broken, I just want to help them. And that's the heart that I've got. And so when I talk about Jesus being the good shepherd, I want you to hear my heart this morning, guys. This is my heart of compassion for you and for this community and for this nation that we live in. Because I get really upset really easily now. I didn't used to be like that, but that's who I am now. And God softened my heart. And it was a long process for God to soften my heart to the place where it's at. But it is, it's soft. And I want it to be softer. I don't want to be angry and aggressive. I want to be, you know, humble, and I want to be compassionate, and I want to be able to weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn, as the Bible says. And the reason I share all that is because the world that we live in isn't the perfect kind of sheepfold that we want it to be. You know, we looked at last week about the story of the lost sheep and how the sheep have gone astray. Well, there's a couple of passages that I want to just share with you very quickly, which to me kind of like sum up what is going on in Wales right now. Check out Zechariah. That's us, by the way. Remember the sheep? We are like sheep, and we've gone astray. Just wanted to put that little picture in because I quite like that. Took it on my phone. I'm just buzzing about that. On my 3.2 megapixel camera on my phone. Brilliant. You can even see the definition of the sun in his eye. You see that? Fantastic. All right. Let me read you this passage, right? In Zechariah, I mean, if you can say Zechariah and just drop it into a conversation without looking like a nutter, then great. But like in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 12, this is what it says. The people wander like sheep They are afflicted for lack of a shepherd. You want to know what's wrong with Wales right now? You want to know what's wrong with the world right now? It's that people don't have a shepherd. And when sheep haven't got a shepherd, as we saw last week, they end up in all sorts of trouble. And that's what's wrong with the streets around us, with the world around us. It's people just are doing their own thing, going their own way, ending up in all sorts of danger, ending up in all sorts of pain, ending up in all sorts of trouble. And the Bible says it's because we haven't got a shepherd. We need a shepherd. We want to be the shepherd, but we're not. We're the sheep, and sheep need a shepherd. Sheep just need that help, that encouragement, and sometimes that bringing into line. And if you want to know why there's so many kids who are just like, you know, mental out there on the streets right now, so often it's because the role models that are in their lives are not good shepherds. They're following the wrong role models, and they're just being left to wander in the streets and do what they want in the streets. I woke up yesterday morning to go to Cardiff to preach. I spent the whole day in Cardiff. I left at about 7:15 in the morning and got back at 11 o'clock last night. And I woke up at 6 to walk the dog, open my back gate, and the smell of burning rubbish bin greeted me as some of the kids had set fire to a bin of rubbish just outside the back of the house, and it's now a big molten heap of mulch. And when kids are just left to run the streets and do what they want, then it's no wonder that they end up A, in trouble, and B, in pain. It's both. We end up both guilty for doing things we shouldn't have done, but also hurt by the consequences of things we've done. We need a savior and we need a healer because we haven't got a shepherd. But what I love is that the Bible doesn't just say, look, you need a shepherd and you haven't got one. So now you get what you deserve. Because if you want to reject the shepherd, then let me read to you what Jesus says when he sees the city of Jerusalem. He sees a bunch of people, right? Just like our world now. A bunch of real people. Not people who are fake and pretend that everything's okay. But like Jesus was constantly surrounded by real broken people with real needs, with real problems, real life people. We got real life people in this church. I'm a real life person. Not people who have to pretend, but people who just like say, hands up, things are hard. And when Jesus saw a whole city full of people like that, it says this. When Jesus saw the crowds, it says this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus looks at Trevethan, when Jesus looks at Pontypool, when Jesus looks at this world, he doesn't look at this world and go, well, look at the state of them. He looks at this world and he is moved by compassion. He says, I can see what's going on. I can see that you're harassed. The word harassed means that, there's just never enough time in the day. You just don't know whether you're coming or going. The world's going too quickly, too chaotically, too troubled for you, and it's just mental. And it just gets and as the days go by, it just gets more and more like that. And the problems just stack up and stack up. That's what harassed means, and helpless. We're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Which is why this passage that I've read this morning is brilliant, because Jesus looks at people who need a shepherd and he says, do you know what? If you need a shepherd, I'll be a shepherd. And I'm not just any old shepherd. I'm not a joker shepherd. I'm not a shepherd that's going to be here one minute and gone the next. He says, I am the good shepherd. You know the good, like, do you know what a good shepherd is like? The clue is in the title. A good shepherd is good. We can trust Jesus. He says twice in the passage I read, truly, truly. It's one of them Bible phrases that just sounds a little bit like weird, doesn't it? Like, you don't sort of go into Tesco's and say, truly, truly, I have the money in my pocket for a banana. Like, you just don't say truly, truly, do you? But like, back when Jesus was around, if you wanted to say something, you'd say it once. If you wanted to really hammer the point home, you'd say it twice. So truly, truly, Jesus is saying, listen, I'm telling you the truth. And he's saying it with a bit of force. What I'm saying to you is true. And this morning, what I'm going to share with you guys about Jesus being the good shepherd is absolutely true. You can bank your life on it. It's truly, truly the truth. So this is it. We're just going to go through a couple of points now about the good shepherd. And I hope this encourages you guys. I hope this blesses you. Because if you don't know Jesus as your shepherd, this morning you can. If you think, yeah, do you know what? I feel a bit like harassed and helpless. I feel like I need help getting through this life. I feel like, completely afflicted because I don't have a shepherd. Jesus is there, and this is what he says about himself. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. We're going to come back to the whole door and the whole be saved bit a bit later on, but let me just share this verse with you on the fact that Jesus is the shepherd that saves us. Psalm 28, David says, Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Let me say that again. David prays to God and he says, God, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Guys, when God picks you up, he doesn't put you down. He will carry you forever. You will be saved and you will go in and out and find pasture. Let me tell you what that means. Like, pasture is a bit of a strange word, unless you're a farmer. But pasture is just like grass. That's what it is. Pasture is what sheep need. Like, sheep go into fields and they graze and they eat the food and they get what they need. And I want to show you guys that Jesus isn't just, you know, this sort of like this fictitious character that we follow and we hope, and it gives us a sort of slightly better feeling about life because we've got some kind of like religious thing going on. But Jesus is a real shepherd, and a real shepherd takes care of your real needs. God is big enough to get you through this world and give you everything that you need. Sheep need pasture. A sheep that doesn't have pasture doesn't live very long. Sheep need to eat. Sheep have legitimate needs. And I want to share with you like just a couple of things in the Bible that speak to me and speak to you about how God wants to meet your legitimate needs. See, There's two sort of like really extreme ways of looking at God. Some people think, well, God's like, now, you know, if I become a Christian, God becomes my glorified slot machine. And I just pray and I ask for something and whatever I want, I get it. And it, you know, if God's God, he can give me a Ferrari, no problem. If God's God, he can give me that holiday in Barbados I want, not a problem. And if God doesn't give me my Ferrari or my holiday, then there's something wrong with God. And that's not what God does. He gives us what we need, not what we want. We can't demand things from God. But the flip side is that there's then people that say, oh, you know, well, you know, I can't ask anything from God. God's awesome and God's holy. And I'm just like, I'm just a little scumbag down here. And surely I can't bring my little problems to God. He's got bigger things to worry about. And the Bible says, nah, you have got legitimate needs. Legitimate needs in your life that he is completely able and completely willing to meet. Let me just read this amazing little passage. I read part of it last week about God in the Old Testament as a shepherd. Check this out. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and I'll rescue them from all places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Listen to this. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. That's God saying he's going to feed his people. He's going to give them what they need. By the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the countryside. And I will, guys, I want to apply this now. Please start like, you know, please start listening to this. And let this just soak in if this is what you need. I will feed them with good pasture. So many of us try to meet our needs on bad pasture. We try all the wrong things to try and get our legitimate needs met. We look for love. We look for money. We look for peace. We look for fulfillment. We look for wholeness in all the wrong places. We try sex. We try drugs. We try alcohol. We try violence. We try fantasy worlds. We drown ourselves in TV or film. We lose ourselves in magazines or books. And it's because we're trying to meet legitimate needs. It's not that there's anything wrong with the needs that we have. But we're trying to feed on bad pasture. I haven't met one person that tried to deal with pain through drug addiction that actually found relief from pain. They did momentarily. It tasted good. It tasted sweet for a moment. But it didn't satisfy them. It didn't fulfill that deepest need. And God says, I will feed them on good pasture. I love this. And on the mountain heights of Israel, there shall be grazing land. So you don't just get what you need, but you get a good view as well. Just chuck that in there. There they shall lie down. They'll chill out. They'll be at rest in good grazing land. And on rich pasture, they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. Listen to this. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. How many injured sheep are out there right now? How many who have just been given a kicking by this life are out there on the mountainside of Trevethin right now? And how many are in this room right now? I want to say to you that the Good Shepherd, he wants to come and he wants to strengthen you and he wants to bind you up. He wants to fix your life. He wants to make you whole. He wants to feed you on the stuff which will truly satisfy you. He wants to set you free from the stuff which will destroy you. Does that sound like a bad shepherd or a good shepherd? Because to me, that's a good shepherd. That's a God who says, I'm not just there to pull you out of a pit and say, oh, don't fall down it again. I'm a God who's going to carry you home. If you've got a broken leg, I'm going to fix your leg. If you've got a broken back, I'm going to fix your back. If you've got a broken heart, I'm going to fix your broken heart. That's a good shepherd. That's a shepherd that provides. He provides what Trevethan Estate needs right now, today. We just don't, see, we don't just do church to be religious, to try and give people a little fix on a Sunday morning or, you know, whenever. We do church because we believe in a God who fixes broken lives. We believe in a God who saves and redeems and rescues and makes whole and makes new. And he provides for us everything that we need. I've been really thrilled, just like the way that Donna has just, her house is full of stuff. God, in his grace, has provided for Donna through Christians, through the church. Not one person like in this church could have given her everything, every single thing that Donna's got. But God has provided for Donna in a very practical way through the people in this Hill City Church. It's a very practical picture of how God provides. Sometimes God does provide miraculously. Speak to me later. I'll tell you stories of times where me and Michelle have been in real financial trouble. And God in his grace, there's been an envelope come through the door. Right amount of money in the envelope. Stuff like that. God can do that. Keith will tell you stories like that as well. Just from recently. But even in the more simple, practical things, God can provide. God will provide if you let him. If you let him be your good shepherd. The next thing, the good shepherd doesn't only save and provide. The good shepherd gives life. Listen to this. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Guys, my question for you this morning is really simple at this point. Are you living? Like, are you, not like you living, you're all there, you all got a pulse. I can see that. There's no one sort of like really sort of like pale. Just sort of like, you know, sitting there like, you know, they haven't moved in the whole sermon, what's wrong? You're alive, you're physically alive, you're all alive, you're all here. I'm glad about that. But are you alive? Are you living like, you know, like you know that why you're alive and you know you've got a reason to be alive? Because again, this theme of the thief and the shepherd comes in. Okay, look at this. There is a thief. There are thieves. There are people out there who want to destroy your life. And the thieves, that you can apply that to Satan and sort of on a big sort of spiritual level. But you can apply that just to people that we let into our lives. And because we know we need a shepherd, sometimes we might just leave that window open or that door open, hoping that someone is going to come and bring something into our lives. And, you know, so many people that I know and that I've met through the youth work and the prison work that I do were corrupted because the wrong shepherds were actually turned, the people that claimed to be shepherds turned out to be thieves. And they broke in and they stole and they killed and they destroyed. There was a boy I worked with in St. Melon's. He was on the one hand, he was a lovely kid. He's also one of the most troubled kids I've ever met. And there was one morning, where I went to his house and he's having a blazing row with his mother, and his mother was saying, you know, I hate you, I hate the boy that you are, I hate what you've become. And he just said to her, that bloke you were living with when I was a kid, 6 years old, he took me out to rob from cars and rob from houses as a 6 year old, and you're telling me that you've got a problem with me. And that woman had let the wrong person into that house. She thought that person was going to be a shepherd, but that shepherd was a thief. And the thief only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I want to tell you this, guys. One of the biggest areas where my heart has been changed in the last year is in the area of women. Because I'm a father and I've got kids, I've got a beautiful little girl because I love my wife. And because, you know, God in his grace has just brought, you know, women into my life, you know, in church and different things who've just been through the grinder. My heart just breaks. And what I don't want is for any woman to have to sort of think that they're letting a shepherd into their life and that shepherd to turn out to be a thief. Because I've met too many girls, too many women whose lives have been destroyed by a thief when they thought they were a shepherd. Because thieves only come to steal, to rob you of your joy, to rob you of your happiness, to rob you of your hope. They come to kill and to destroy and to leave you just in a corner to fend for yourself. And that's not what I want for any woman that I know in this church or on this estate. I believe there's a good shepherd, and the good shepherd comes to give us life, and to give us abundant life, to give us full life, to give us real life. Life, you know, let me just give you this, a kind of paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, and it puts it like this. It says that the good shepherd comes to give us life, which is, let's find this. Jesus said, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. That's what Jesus came to give. Guys, there are people out there, there are forces out there that want to destroy you and destroy this community and destroy this world. And I've never met one thief that's done the world a favor. Not on a big level. Thieves take, God gives. Do you see the difference? The thief comes to steal, Jesus comes to give. And what you need is you need the good shepherd. You need the life that the good shepherd has got to offer. You need to open your life to him. And you need to say, you know, Jesus, come by the front door, come into my life. I don't want anybody getting into my life by the back door or the back window to come and trash me any further or destroy me any further. The good shepherd is good, and he comes to give life. Have you got that life this morning? Are you alive? Are you glad that you're alive? Do you know why you're out of your bed this morning? Do you know what you've got to do? Do you know what it's all about? That's what the good shepherd's come to give. Third thing, the good shepherd sacrifices. Look at this. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Again, we see the parallel between the shepherd and this time between the hired hand, the person that was meant to be looking after the sheep. But look, the difference is the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, if you could just go to the next slide quickly for me, Lo. The hired hand flees because he cares nothing for the sheep. Just go back to the first slide again for me, Lo. Some of you heard this illustration before, but I just can't find a better illustration for what it means for the good shepherd to lay down his life for the sheep than this, okay? But when Ellen was 9 months old, and she developed a kind of a virus thing, and the virus got really bad, and she ended up getting rushed into hospital, suffering from what looked like an epileptic fit, but it was actually what's called a febrile convulsion, just uncontrollable shaking because she couldn't control the temperature. And I don't know, most of you a lot of you have got kids, and whether it's a little temperature or something really serious, you just don't like your kids being ill. But when it's ill, as in hospital ill, rather than doctor surgery ill, you just really start flapping. And you know, it was the first time the first week of her life that she'd been back in hospital, and she was really unwell, and then she was pale, and she was lying in this little bed. She was like, you know, just a little baby. And she was scared, and she had a big drip coming out of her wrist, and she's all bandaged up, and she had a tube going up her nose to feed her milk. And she was just lying there. And I went into that hospital, like, you know, every day, because, you know, they didn't let her out for 4 days, I think it was, because she just couldn't. Her temperature just kept going up and down. And I was just freaking out, because, like, because women, like, when things like that happen, they actually cope a lot better. Blokes just want to fix it. Right, women just sort of like emotionally cope with it. Blokes like, right, what can I do? What can I do? I couldn't do anything. That's what was really difficult. You know, there was nothing in my power that I could do. Every dad knows what I'm on about. Like, you know, you just want to fix it, and I couldn't. And you know, by God's grace, in the Children's Hospital of Wales, there was a coffee lounge for parents, which was like, you know, in the middle of all that, there was still caffeine, which is great. So you know, I was regularly sort of keep myself topped up on coffee because I wasn't sleeping particularly well. And so I was just sort of, you know, because I was going home, walking the dog and coming back in again. That was my life for about 4 days or so. And one day, I just was in the coffee lounge, and there's another dad whose kid was really ill, like, you know, brain tumour or something. And he was just like, you know, there wasn't a lot of talking going on. I mean, just say, you know, I just said to him, I said, this just isn't right, is it? You know, kids being in hospital, like, and the adults are the ones that are healthy and walking around, and the kids are ill. It should be that the kids are running around full of energy and full of life, and the adults are the ones that are, like, you know, flat on their backs. Like, I just said, there's something really sad about children's hospitals. I love them, but it just feels wrong, kids being ill. And so, and this guy was like, yeah, I know. And, you know, I just said this thing, and it was, and as I said it, it was just such a profound thought that just spoke to me about what we're talking about here. I said to this bloke, I said, do you know what? I would do anything to swap places with my little girl right now. And I would have. I believe every parent knows what I'm on about. If I could be the one that's infected with that virus, and I would be the one having a drip in my hand, and she'd be the one that was fine and healthy and happy and could go home and just do life, I would do it like a shot, and I meant it. And every parent here knows exactly what I mean. And as I said it, God said to me, that's how much I love you. And when Jesus said the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, he was talking about the cross that he was going to go and die on. Because he knew that in our lives there is sin and there is brokenness and there is shame and there is guilt that separates us from God both in this life and on into the next in a place called hell. And he said, I would rather let my son swap places with you so that you can be made well, you can be made whole, you can be forgiven, you can be made clean. I would rather let that happen than let you remain on the path that you're on. That's what Jesus Christ meant when he said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Guys, the cross isn't just a reason for us to have chocolate eggs every year. The cross is God himself saying, I love you so much that I would die for you. I would swap places with you like a shot. And whereas I was in the hospital and I couldn't swap places with her, God could and God did. The good shepherd sacrifices. Guys, that's what true love looks like. True love sacrifices. If you love someone, you make sacrifices for them. That's the difference between the good shepherd and the hired hand. Go back to that next slide for me, Lo. The good shepherd lays down his life. The hired hand legs it like a coward at the first sign of trouble because he cares nothing for the sheep. And that's the difference between Jesus Christ and everybody else in this world. He loves this world and he loves you and he loves me in a way that is so much deeper and so much more profound and so much more like just sacrificial than we can ever understand and that I as a preacher could ever adequately convey. But I don't need to convey it. I need to tell you to look at the cross. When you look at the cross, that's where you see that God cares for his sheep. He cares massively for his sheep and he was willing to lay his life down for his sheep. This morning, I don't want you leaving this place without knowing that you are loved with a love that is just bigger and greater and more powerful and more profound than any other love with which you could ever be loved. The Good Shepherd sacrifices. Fourth thing, the Good Shepherd knows his sheep. I'm the Good Shepherd, I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay my life down for the sheep. This is important, guys, because what I don't want you guys to do is to just know about Jesus. It's great that you come to church, and it's great that I know a lot of you and we chat during the week and stuff as well, but I don't want you to just be able to say, yeah, I know about Jesus, because I know about Bono, right? Although I'm into like rapping and all that sort of stuff, you know, that's one of the things which I do. Back to my sort of like younger days, I was really into U2. From the 1980s, the U2 have been my band, and they've been the one band I've always been into, just because like they ain't that dodgy. Several of them are Christians, and I just really like U2. So I've read books on Bono, and I know a lot about him. But you know what? If I jumped on a ferry now after church, popped down Swansea, jumped on a ferry over to Dublin, found Bono's house, knocked on his door, and said, Bono, what's happening, bruv? It's me. Can I come for tea? He'd be like, what are you on about? Get away, you freak. And I'd be like, no, but I know all about you. Look, I can tell you, I know what day you were born on. I know where you grew up. I know what your brother's name is. I know the lyrics to all your songs. Look, I know everything about you. He's like, look, I don't know you. You know about me. I have not got a clue who you are. And the essence of Christianity, the essence of what we're trying to introduce you to in this church, is it's not just a case of academically learning about Jesus, it's getting to know Jesus. It's relationship that matters at the end of the day. If I knew Bono, he'd let me in for tea. I'm sure it'd be a really nice tea because he's minted. I'd sit on a really nice sofa, we'd have a really nice meal, probably 3 or 4 course, yeah? Maybe even somebody playing some musical instruments while I'm eating because he's loaded. But I don't know him. I can knock on his door till the cows come home. I can read every book there is about Bono. I can know every song. You know, I can have all the facts and figures at my fingertips. But if I don't know him, I'm not getting in. And look what Jesus says. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Do you know Jesus? Not do you know about him? Because on the day of judgment, on the final day, the question which is going to come isn't what do you know about Jesus, it's do you know Jesus? Because Jesus, he says it in Matthew 25, he says he's going to say to some, depart from me, because I never knew you. This is a massively important thing. The good shepherd knows his sheep. Do you know Jesus and does Jesus know you this morning? You can. It's not rocket science. You haven't got to, it's not like your GCSEs. It's not you have to come to church for 2 years and then we give you an exam and that's how you get to know Jesus. The way you get to know Jesus is you say, God, if you want me, you can have me. If you want a relationship with me, I'll surrender myself to you. I'll follow you. That's how you get to know Jesus. And you can do that today. You can do it now. Like that's what it's about. But the good shepherd knows his sheep and his sheep know him. Fifth one, the good shepherd seeks and speaks. It's a real simple one. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Jesus is still committed today to looking for sheep that aren't from his fold. He's speaking here to the Jews. And he was saying, I want people to follow me that aren't just from Israel, but are from Wales and are from, like, you know, England and France and America and Japan and China and everywhere. They're the sheep that aren't from this fold. He said, but listen, I'm still looking. I'm going to bring them as well, and they will listen to my voice. Guys, Jesus is still Jesus is as into Wales as he was into Israel. He loves this nation, and he loves you. And he's still looking. He's still seeking for his sheep, and he's still speaking to them right now. Listen, when he finds you, it says his sheep will listen to his voice. This morning, can you hear his voice? See, I don't want you to hear my voice in this church. I don't want you to hear James's voice or Pete's voice or any other preacher that we get in this church. All of us in this church want you to hear the voice of Jesus speaking to you, saying, I love you. I love you to death. I want to be with you. I want a relationship with you. I've got good plans for you. Look what I did for you on that cross. Look what I've saved you from. That's the voice we want you to hear. Number six, the good shepherd is exclusive. He says there will be one flock and one shepherd. It's taught today that all religions get you to God. It just depends on what, you know, you can believe what you want, but they're all going to get you to the same place. And Jesus says, no, there's one flock, one shepherd. We don't do denominations in Hill City Church. I love Christians who are in the Anglican Church. I love Christians in the Baptists, the Pentecostals. I love Catholic Christians. Anybody that loves Jesus Christ, they're in the same flock as me. We don't have a special Hill City Church badge, so we got a little sub-flock. There's one flock. It's called people that love Jesus. And there's one shepherd, and his name is Jesus. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's it. It's exclusive. People don't like that. They want to say, well, I want to believe what I want to believe. Jesus says, one flock, one shepherd. You're in or you're out. Come to me, I'm the good shepherd. You'll be in the good flock. You'll be feeding on rich pasture. Come to me. Seventh one, the good shepherd is unstoppable. Come on, I love this. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Jesus didn't hang on the cross because he ran out of places to run. Jesus didn't hang on the cross because he just didn't have what it takes, and the Romans caught him in the end. What happened is he willingly laid down his life because it was his love for you that took him to the cross, not the powers that be that led him to the cross. And he says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord, but I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And he did. This is why I love the Good Shepherd, because the Good Shepherd is still alive. Jesus died willingly and he rose just like he promised. And the Good Shepherd is unstoppable. If death can't beat him, nothing can. I don't know who you've trusted your life to. I don't know, I don't know what direction all your lives are taking, but I promise you this, if you trust your life to the Good Shepherd, not even death's going to stop him. He is unstoppably, unceasingly, unendingly good. And the empty grave tells us that. The Good Shepherd is unstoppable. Almost finished, guys. Almost there. So they all kick off and they all start saying he's got a demon and stuff, and they all get a little bit vexed. And then they say to Jesus, they say, if you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus said to them, I've told you and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But he says this, he says, you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. Are you part of that flock? Are you a Christian? Do you follow the Good Shepherd? Because he says, you don't believe because you're not part of my flock. And guys, we need to be part of the flock. Matthew 25 says, there's a day is going to come when Jesus is going to divide the sheep from the goats. The sheep are going to go to everlasting bliss in heaven. The goats are going to go to everlasting destruction in hell. We need to be sheep. And this is how you know you're a sheep. You might be thinking, am I a Christian? Do I follow Jesus? Is Jesus? Am I in a relationship with him? I don't know. Well, here we go. Here's three evidences. Number one, his sheep hear his voice. When I'm speaking this morning, are you hearing blah, 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 blah? Or is God starting to connect to you? During the week, if you read your Bible, do you hear God speaking to you? Do you know Jesus? He says, I know them. I know my sheep. Do you know that you're known? Does the Holy Spirit testify to your spirit that you are children of God? Is that going on? And do you follow Jesus? Is your life going in a completely different direction to the way it once was? Whereas once you were living for yourself and you were living in folly and you were living in shame, you were living in pain, you came to a point where you repented, which means to turn, And you said, I'm following Jesus now. I'm going Jesus' way. And all of a sudden, your life has just changed. Your reactions change. Your attitudes change. Your language changes. Everything about your mindset and your worldview and where you're going and where you're heading changes. There has to come a point where you repent, where you turn, and you go from living for yourself to following Jesus. It's Jesus' first command. It's Jesus' ultimate command. Follow me. Are you following Jesus? If you are following Jesus, if you are a sheep, this is the assurance of being a sheep. I love being a sheep. As I said last week, it doesn't sound very flattering, but if you're a sheep, this is what you get. You get eternal life. Guys, you get to live forever in heaven. And you will never perish. The fear of hell and the fear of death has never got a factor on your radar ever again. My mother at the moment is fighting cancer, as a lot of you know. And I've seen her go through chemotherapy. I think it's 3 or 4 times, I can't remember. I've seen her getting, you know, gradually weaker, but one thing I haven't seen her fear death once. I haven't seen her say, why me, God? I haven't seen her freaking out. I've seen her saying, I know where I'm going. She has no fear of death, no fear of eternity, because she's got eternal life. And eternal life starts today and just goes on beyond the grave. You get eternal life, you'll never perish. And like, guys, this is the big one for me. It's not that they're all big, to be honest with you, but I just love this. No one will snatch them out of my hand. For so many, life is just so unstable. They don't know what, you know, they don't know what one day is going to hold to the next. They don't know, you know, they just got no concept of stability, no concept of just absolute just security. And Jesus says, if you become my sheep, if I'm your shepherd, no one's going to snatch you out of my hand. We've done this illustration in church before, but it's so much easier to close your hand and keep it tight shut than for somebody to pry your fingers open when your fist is shut. I want to say to you that if you come to Jesus Christ, you will be safe with Jesus Christ forever. And there's 2 pairs of hands going on. You check it out. He says, no one will snatch him out of my hand. Everyone's like, well, Jesus is quite powerful. He was the one that could heal the sick. He's the one that could raise the dead. They're pretty powerful hands. But just in case that's not convincing enough for you, he says, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one. You've got the hand of Jesus and the hand of God the Father holding you tight. And you are going to be safe forever, secure forever, forgiven forever, redeemed forever. There's nothing which you can go through in this world that's going to snatch you out of the hand of the Father. I know for a fact that for so many, like who I share this message with, the message of Jesus, they think, I love what it's talking about, Di. I love this forgiveness. I love this idea of love. I love this idea of eternal life. I love the fact that God is like that. But if I follow him, I know I'm going to screw it up. I know that between now and the grave, there's no way in this world that I could live as a Christian perfectly. And so I'm going to sort of like say, yeah, I'm one of your sheep, and I'm going to walk straight out of the fold again. I'm going to walk straight out of your kingdom again. I'm going to screw it up like I always do. I just can't follow you because I'm so good at screwing up. And you need to understand that when you come to the Good Shepherd, it's not about your strength to stay. It's about his strength to hold. God is an incredibly gracious God. We should never follow Jesus thinking, well, it's okay to screw up. I don't want to screw up. I want to be different. I want to be like Jesus, but I haven't been. There's been times I've really messed up as a Christian. And do you know what? Well, when I've been faithless, he has been faithful. When I've been rubbish, he hasn't. When I've been weak, he has been strong. I want to promise you this. He has got a strong pair of hands to hold you tight. I want to give you this scripture, which Michelle sort of like, Michelle left this scripture as a kind of a note on my Bible when she knew I was preparing for this talk. And at the risk of sort of like being a little bit too specific, I actually want to apply it quite specifically. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. And I want to apply this to any of you who've got young children, any of you who've got kids, because it's just so specific. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. God will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. He will gently lead those that are with young. You know, Michelle, she needs gently leading sometimes. She's a mum. She's a full-time mum. She's shattered a lot of the time. You know, a lot of her energy, you know, is being sucked by the kids. And we haven't got a God who's like a shepherd that leads you with a big stick saying, come on, you meant me going faster than that. You meant me doing better than that. You meant me trying harder than that. We've got a God who says, listen, I know what's going on in your life. I know you've got young. And I want to lead you gently. I want to lead you graciously. I understand your situation completely, your circumstances entirely. And if any of you guys are with kids and you're thinking, how can I follow Jesus and be a mum or and be a dad or and be a family, or how's that all going to work out? Can I say that we've got a good shepherd who is gentle and who leads lovingly and who understands? He really does. Leave you with this final question. You can just pop it up on the screen. Okay, well, I'll tell you what it is anyway. The question I want to leave you with is this. Is the good shepherd your shepherd? If he is, live like you're grateful. If he is, enjoy his tender care. If he is, thank him for doing everything that it took, even laying down his own life to make you one of his flock. If he's not, just to go back to that verse you read earlier, you need to come to the door and you need to enter through the door. The door is Jesus. I am the door, is what he said. He said, I am the door. Let's find my sheet so I don't misquote it. I'll read it to you. That I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. If you want to be saved, if you want the good shepherd to be your shepherd, come to Jesus. You've got to come through him. Commit your life to him, and he will. He will save you, and he will look after you. He will shepherd you like no one else can shepherd you. There's a room full of people. I know so many of us. He is our shepherd, and we love it. I want as many people in that flock as possible because God is gracious and he is good and he is kind. He's a shepherd that Trevethan and Wales needs. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being the good shepherd. Thank you for loving us like you do. Thank you for seeking us out, for saving us, for providing all we need. Thank you for laying down your life for us. Thank you for being so patient with us and so gracious to us. Lord, I just want to pray. You'll just take what I've said this morning and just apply it to our lives in whatever way we need. I pray, Lord, for more and more people from this community to meet you, to know you, to be changed by you, and to find that you are a shepherd worth following, to find you to be all that you said that you are and so much more. Be with us for the rest of this day, I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.